So this is a recording of a 1 minute plunge meditation session on July 9, 2022. By the way, I set up a web page. It's sandoff.com/share with a capital S, S-H-A-R-E, .htm on the internet. And you can go there and download the audio recordings and also the latest version of the little write-up about this. It's available. And also I added that little booklet I wrote on cultivating naked awareness called Dog Zen. That's on that you can download, plus the thing on preparation for contemplation, a kind of a guided meditation audio. Because before I would have to send it to everybody individually, and it just seemed like it was unnecessary overhead. So I decided I'd just put it out there. And all right, so do you want to get started? Here we go. First thing I think I'll do is just, for the people who are fairly new to this, I'll give a kind of overview of what we're up to. And then we'll go into some of these 1 minute plunge meditations. So this came up years ago, actually, when I was kind of involved with a teacher, Master Subramunia. He's an Advaita yoga master. In the early 70s, I was very affected by him in many respects. And one day I happened to overhear him. I don't know, maybe it was a tape recording. I don't remember exactly how it went. It was a long time ago, where he kind of pushed his meditators to just get with it. Just when you go into meditation, just go directly into it, not to kind of take a long time. So, I don't know, he gave it a kind of an impulse to help people just break out of what state I guess they were in at the moment and just get right into their meditation. I thought about that and I thought it was kind of odd, because there's also this idea of relaxing and being at peace and not having goal-directed energies and things like that associated with meditation. But I still felt like there was something going there that I really liked. And I did some experiments, and the idea of a plunge meditation came up kind of as a joke almost, I think. It was kind of playful at one point. The idea of plunging into a meditation, the idea of a plunge is like diving off a diving board into something, like the pool. You would do it for 1 minute. Just see where you could go in 1 minute with a meditation. I tried it a few times. I did a bunch of it myself, and I thought, wow, this is really kind of interesting, because it's a kind of like a full conscious commitment to the moment, which you don't often get. But it is not like a long, grueling thing. It's only a minute. So the idea is you can like really just throw yourself unabashedly, just plunge into it. And whatever that means to you, because each of us is different internally, you know, we have our own inner context. And so I'll just put it out as a plunge, and people will pick up their own sense of it. And a lot of this has to do with me not like impressing on you a particular thing, but just to encourage the general sense of plunging into it, right? That idea. So however that you get that is really your own. So you can't really do it wrong, is what I'm saying. It's just like you give yourself over to it. You're on the edge of the diving board and you just fling yourself into it. By the way, I wanted to encourage everybody to be a teacher of this if you want to. So I'm going to give you the bones of it, and then just go ahead and if you you can just get a group together or do it yourself, whatever, you can teach it to people or encourage them to do it with you, or however you want to do it. If you have a group, you could try it out, because some people find it's really good. And I'm not expecting everybody to think that it's great, you know, but some people, it like rings a bell and they get something out of it. And so it's kind of shotgun, you know, just like, let's try this and see what happens, and see what happens internally when we plunge into particular meditations. And the thing is not like we're trying to get a particular answer on any of the topics that we plunge into, but rather to become aware internally, like our mirroring our ability to mirror our own inner process, to see what happens when we do that. Okay? That's really what it's about, is what goes on with you, within you, when you do this. And so you're not really trying to get a particular form or a particular accomplishment, but it's more like an awakening of what goes on with you in these particular areas that we plunge into, so that you become self-aware that way. You become aware of the nature of your own mind is basically what it is. And it's just like it awakens maybe that capacity to see your own internal process and your internal states. And if you go deep with it, you could have an enlightenment experience of some kind, or a spiritual experience of some kind. A lot of people have told me that they get some rather substantial experiences from these things. So I think it's worth at least trying to see if they kind of ring a bell with you. And if they don't, that's fine. Maybe someday they will, and maybe you're past this. I don't know. So I collected a set. I added a couple this last iteration, these meditations, these plunges. And they are centered around internal states that you can achieve in meditative absorption. And so they're relevant in a sense that these are things that masters often report and talk about as being essential to realizing the nature of mind, the nature of consciousness, the nature of being, who you are, and those kinds of things, right? But they're kind of like a cluster of these elements that people come up with. And this is the third one we're doing. One of them, there are two of them that are sort of repeats that I think kind of fit in generally and kind of get the thing going. And then I'm just kind of rolling through this list that I happen to have collected over a period of time. This list of interesting things that I've gotten from my own experiences in enlightenment intensives and teachings with various teachers and so on, you know, sutras and things like that. So I think they're good stuff in principle, and they reflect deeper aspects of consciousness and mind, okay? The way we do it is that I'll give a kind of a little description of I had in mind when I wrote them down. But it's not necessarily like to constrain you in any way. But I'm experiencing these things in this moment, right? When I wrote that down, I had a sense of what I was getting at. But you may have a different take on it. So I don't want you to get the sense of me like trying to impress upon you my particular take on these elements, okay? I want you to find your own, right? And I think that's a really good thing to remember, because you won't get mad at me if it's different than yours. A lot of them have to do with pure awareness and the particular way of relating to deeper states of awareness, pure awareness, and how that awareness engages the field of life, right, in various ways. So I have a little sub-list that I selected from the overall list that we'll try today. And I have recordings on the website of the previous ones if you want to go in and listen to the little talks that preceded each one. And so here's the practice, so to speak. First there's a preliminary section, then there's the 1 minute plunge, and then there's the post plunge practice. Okay? The thing you do at the beginning, before you do it, then there's the doing of it, and then there's what afterwards. So the preliminary consists of kind of basically just getting really present, to ready to do it, rather than being kind of distracted and not feeling like you're ready. It's really like getting to a point where you feel like you're really ready to do it. That's the whole essence of it, the pre-plunge. And so and historically, there's three elements that seem to be a part of traditional contemplative practices. One is the position of your body and the opening of the channels. For centuries, it's come down to, like, every time you see a picture of somebody meditating, they all look about the same. You know what I mean? They're all sitting there, they got cross-legged, or they're sitting, you can sit on a chair, it's no problem, especially if you're old and got bad knees like me. But let's face it, over 4,000 years, this is kind of how you sit. And the reason you sit that way is because just about everybody finally comes to the conclusion that it really helps, right? The position of your body, the opening of channels and things like that. So the first one is just get your body really comfortable and positioned so that you, that those channels can be open, right? And relaxed. A really big part of it is being relaxed and not be tense and not be tangled up in tensions. If you're relaxed, you can be open and then you can experience things so that you wouldn't be able to experience if you're all busy with some tension-oriented thing. You know what I'm talking about. And then there's, so that's body. Then there's speech and mind. Those are the three. Speech has to do with your intellectual mind, with your conceptual mind. So all these plunges don't have to do with figuring out. They don't have to have anything to do with concepts and words. They have to do with an experience. In essence, you might not even want to think of them as feelings. They're just experiences in consciousness. So what you want is to, in terms of speech is basically another term for your conceptual mind, for thoughts and a dialogue, meanings, significances, memories, things like that. You want to kind of let that stuff go so you're just really kind of present for the experience, okay? So what you want to do is allow yourself to not try to figure out, but just to directly experience. And that's body speech. And then the mind part is that you want to be fully present and ready, that you want to be fully with the moment. You want to be mindful of this instant of the here and now. And by that time, you're ready and you're just waiting for the bell. So it's body, speech, and mind. And that's the preliminary thing. And it's about a minute's worth of stuff, maybe a couple of minutes early on, but later on, you're kind of already there and just waiting for me to quit yammering on about that. And then there's, I have a bell. This is the sound of the bell. So let's see if you hear it. Does everybody get that? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure, you know, it actually works. It's Ron made this thing for me. It's really perfect for this. And it's a 1 minute time interval. And so what happens is that you bring the bell and I say begin, and then you do the plunge. And the plunge is, like I said, this full involvement with, you dive in, whatever that means to you, you know, your own inner experience, your own subjective experience of this. And then a minute later, the bell will go off again, and that's the end. And I'll say, thank you. And then it's done. Then you immediately go into the post-practice. And the post-practice is just letting whatever occurred kind of sink in. And that means that you don't leave the meditation abruptly, but you let the freshness of that new state linger so that you can get the mirror, so that you can get what happened, so that you can fully feel what doing that did, okay? And you give that a minute or two. It'll fade naturally as you become kind of externalized back into, you know, connection with others and such. So you're not trying to hold on to it or anything. You don't try to hold on to it. You just notice what occurred. And it has this added interesting aspect, which I've been learning about lately, which is that there's a thing called neuroplasticity, which is how your brain rewires itself from experience. It's like you have about 85 billion neurons in your brain and 100 trillion, literally 100 trillion synapses. And for a long time, I thought that this thing was fairly stable. But I saw pictures on the internet of what happens at the minutia, at the deepest level in your brain. And it turns out your synapses and your dendrites are moving around like crazy minute to minute, reorienting themselves all the time. I didn't realize that. I thought synapses were, you know, like rocks, you know, solid, but actually they're like worms moving around. And as your consciousness is shifting to all these different places. So you want to give your brain the opportunity to rewire its connections so that you have easier access to deep contemplative states. That's really kind of my concept of it anyway. So if you let it linger a little bit and just let the body do what it does to fully like get it, right? Subjectively, it's just like you're getting it. And then neurologically, you're being rewired a little bit, okay? So you don't want to leave a meditation too abruptly. Any meditation, the one-minute ones or any meditations or practices that you're doing, it's good to let them linger and kind of move into your life because you're being rewired, and it just makes it easier for you to access these better states, these more enlightened states, okay? So that's the post thing. And then I say that it's okay if you want to do a little journaling. Some people like to do a little bit of journaling to write down the impressions of what happened. And I think that's okay, but I wouldn't do it too elaborately because you don't want to get too involved because you'll miss the beginning of the next one, which follows on within a few minutes. We'll do the next plunge. And so if you're busy writing, you'll miss that. So what you want to do is just, if you want to do some journaling, go ahead, but keep it brief, just kind of like the essence of it. If you're doing it on your own, of course, you can write as much as you want because this, you won't be doing that. You know, you won't be missing the descriptions. So if you're going to do this with a group, I think the main thing to emphasize is that you're not trying to impress on anybody your own view. You're trying to elicit, you're trying to help support people have their own inner experience. And what you do is you point at these things. There are some interesting texts I've read, really deep texts by Buddhist masters, and they say this, they describe your mind in a certain way, and then they'll say in the very next line, see if it's that way for you. You know what I mean? It's like, check that out. Is that how it is for you? And it's, they're not like pushing you into anything, you know. They're opening to your own inner experience. And I think that's what we want, right? We don't want anybody giving us a dogma that we have to obey. We just want to open these avenues of deep reflection to allow us to be fully conscious of being alive. I think that's the main thing. And the other is pretty obvious, the sort of the mechanisms of it. And I think the pre and the post are handy. I don't know how important they are. I think they're pretty important. Okay, so you want to get started? Yeah, let's do it. So this is OM Plunges number 3. And the first one I want to do is like a really basic one, and that has to do with awareness, aware of itself. Okay, awareness aware of itself. And what you want to do is distinguish, and this is key, this is the essence of it. The key is you want to distinguish awareness from what it is aware of. So when you're conscious of something, normally you're conscious of the thing and not conscious of your consciousness. This is actually asking you to be sensitive to the fact that you are aware and that you don't have a tight attachment to what you're aware of, but just the fact of awareness. Now, most people will make a subtle image of awareness in their mind, but eventually you'll get beyond that. You know, a subtle image, subtle image. So in order to do that, you just have to hear these words, that what you want to do is detach awareness from what it is aware of and be aware of awareness itself. And if you fully do that, we could call that pure awareness. Pure awareness. And I want to just leave it at that, okay? See, that's the plunge. And what you want to do is just see where you go, given that description of awareness aware only of itself. You want to see what comes out of that particular vector into self-awareness, okay? All right, so the first thing is to get your body all set and make sure that you've got a relaxation, that any idea of channels or something that's open, and there's relaxation, and you allow the energy to flow, you know what I mean? It's like you get ready, like what a meditation tends to go to when you become familiar with it. In terms of speech, you're not going to figure things out. You're not going to have story. You're not going to have any intellectual process going on. You're just going to experience awareness being aware of itself. And you're going to be very, very present in this moment, ready to dive in fully, unrestrainedly, just commit to that experience. Okay, you ready? Because we're going to do it. Okay, here we go. Begin. Okay, now just let that, just become aware of how you feel differently now a little bit, or if you do, and just let that sink in, just let your state sink in. You might imagine bringing that state into your life a little more, if it's a good one, it's the one you like. Or less if you hate it. So you write something down if you want. Just take a little breather. Just let it kind of fade naturally if you want. Keep as much of it as you want going. All right. So let's do that one again. Seems like I've been doing two of these. Some people liked it and some people said, no, I don't want to do two. In their feedback, but most people liked doing two, and I had an instinct that it was a good idea to do two of them, just because it's, you've kind of already got something going, and you can take it deeper, a little bit deeper. Okay, body, speech, and mind. All right, so get your body ready for the next one. Breath is important. I always talk about breath. Make sure at least your breath is at peace with itself. Your body's right for meditation. That you dismiss the whole intellectual thing a little bit. And that you are really present for this. Ready. You're standing on the diving board and your toes are over the edge and you're primed and ready to go. And you're undistracted. And you're focused. And begin. Awareness aware only of itself. Okay. So just see what that did. If you had an insight, you could write it down. Or not. So if you're doing these with others, you know, or you want to start people doing them or something. One thing Charles Berner, the guy who did the Enlightenment, who invented the Enlightenment Intensive, emphasized early on was the element of individual choice. And one of the key things about it, if you want to have friends, you feel like a lack of getting friends, one of the things that you should check out is whether you really acknowledge in your behavior that the other has choice, that the other person has independent choice. And you will notice that when I'm doing this, saying, well, you can do this or not, it's up to you. I'm always doing that. I'm always trying to make it clear that I recognize that you have independent choice. And that's a form of respect for the individual nature of being, you know, in my estimation. So my ideas are my ideas, but you have the choice of doing anything you want with them. It's up to you. So I acknowledge your choice all the time. That's what I want to do. And I find that people appreciate that, to actually encourage them to express their own choice. It's another thing. So that's what I'm doing. Just be really blatantly obvious about it. That's what I'm doing. All right. So the next one, this one's kind of interesting. Pure and total presence. You might have read this on that paper. Pure awareness, aware only itself, gives rise to a sense of being present. And at its optimum state, at its highest state, it would be total presence, where you're just fully present. Fully, fully, fully present. It's a dimension that, like you say, you get a little bit of presence, you can get more presence, or you can be really present, right? So this is pure and total presence. So it kind of rests upon prior awareness, aware only of itself, but it's being fully present. See what you could do with this idea, this of pure presence and totally present. Just this idea of as present as it's possible to be. I'm not expressing that you should be stressful about it, because to be fully anything, sometimes it engages a lot of stress. But allow yourself to be fully as here as you can get, right? This one that you are, just that you actually are here, all right? See where that takes you. See where that idea takes you, right? Pure and total presence. Total presence. I don't know if you can get to total presence, but that's the goal out there somewhere. You get to totally present. All right. So get your body ready. Here you go. Pure and total presence. Get your body, speech and mind, act together. Be right here, and you're going to be fully present. Whatever that really means to you, fully and totally present. You ready? Here we go. Begin. Okay. Just reflect on that for a second, what that's like. Let that sink in, so to speak. Pure and total presence. You're seeing the nature of your mind as well as this thing that you're going for. Right? You're seeing how you are with that. If you want to write something down, you can. Some people find this a little fatiguing, so I want to acknowledge that. We don't want to do too much of this and get all tired out and cranky. But just like, take it easy. Remember to relax and just have a good time with it. Pure and total presence. It's an interesting idea to be really present. You know people who aren't very present, and then you know people that are really present, and there's a difference there of the way you connect with others. It's definitely a difference, and more accessible, you know. You tend to be attracted to people who are really accessible, and when they're not accessible, you wonder why you're here, you know. Okay, maybe do it one more time, pure and total presence. Body, speech, mind. Start with the body. Breathing, relax. Sometimes people hold tension in their throat. It's really connected to your autonomic nervous system. Your sympathetic and parasympathetic goes right to your throat, wired in directly with your 10th cranial nerve. And all your viscera, all your lungs, your heart, all that. So you want to relax the vagus nerve. And you want to just, so you can be more present. And you want to get out of your head trips if you've got any going. And be really here now. Be present with this as you're ready to dive, to plunge into this. Ready? Begin. Okay, so what that feels like to be really present, or endeavoring to be really present. This stuff is very direct, isn't it? It's just shoot right on it, you know? Just dive right in. Next one, moving right along. This one's called ever-fresh awareness. Ever-fresh awareness. Ever-fresh awareness is sometimes characterized as, in Zen, as new mind. And what it is seeing things as if for the first time. So it's through your senses, or I suppose it could be hearing or feeling, any of the senses. But it's ever-fresh. It's ever brand new. You might have done this. Have you ever, like, in a particularly open state, you would look at something as if you saw it for the first time ever? A flower or a particular beautiful thing or whatever. It could be any form. It could be any situation. But there's a quality about that, which is that it's not the same old thing. It's ever fresh. And that you can sustain, for a little while anyway, the sense of its ever-fresh state. In other words, that you're receiving, and when you think about it, the now is ever, inherently ever-fresh. right? So really, it's like it's ever fresh. It just is. So in a way, it's being true to the moment in a certain level. The idea is you're seeing things as if for the first time. You're giving it a fresh look. You're kind of detaching from a long history. Maybe you'll get an insight from doing this. I suppose that if you cultivated this, you would be more prone to having insights because you saw it like not just same old, you get a very fresh look. It could be about anything. The easiest one is just what's visually in front of you. You know, just like you look at the chair and you say, whoa, a chair. It's like that. But it could also be situations, and it could be just anything that comes up for you. Hearing music as if for the first time. Whoa. And what happens is it's like a touch into the divine in a way. In its deepest form, it's a touch into the divine, into the essence of alive, its essence of consciousness. It's ever fresh awareness. It's like for the first time, it's like awakening to experience in this moment. All right, you got the picture? That's sort of like how I get it in my mind. However you get it, but it's ever fresh, which means it's fresh. As a persistence of freshness. All right. See what happens when you go for that, right? See if you can kind of tease that forward into your experience, right? As a possibility of what you can do in this moment. All right. So, get ready. Nice deep breath. And we'll do this a couple of times. Ever fresh awareness. Okay? So you can pick something out or you can just see what happens. All right, you ready? Here we go. We're going to dive into the plunge meditation. Begin. Okay. To see what that did by doing that work, by doing that practice. It's like, imagine what it'd be like if that happened spontaneously a lot during your life. Would that be an improvement or not? Try it one more time. Then maybe we'll take a little break. Okay, ever fresh awareness. One more time. Okay, so body, speech, mind. Get ready, get prepared. And begin. that whole thing sink in a little. If you want to write anything down, take the time. And I think let's have a little break, say 10 minutes. Let's meet about at 10:10. Let's meet here back at 10:10. And we'll do the next one. All right. Thank you all for doing this with me. It's really fun. I just love it. I just love you being here. Okay. See you back in 10 minutes. You know, there. I remember my wife one time was walking down the street and there was something in the window of a business, and she felt like the thing, which was an attractive thing, kind of reached out and grabbed her, and suddenly she wanted it. And it was like she didn't really want it, but something inside of her lunged wanting it, you know, that preference, that desire that this is better than that, all those kind of judgments. What if you could suspend that entirely for about a minute? And what would that be like to have no preferences at all? It's a form of surrender, I would guess. You would experience it as surrender. You would experience it as like nothing, you know? No preferences. It's more or less just taking it in the moment as it comes, I guess. Try to think a little about that, what it would be like to have no preferences at all. At all. Like an emptiness of preferencing in your mind. What would that just be like? I wonder if you could go there for just a moment. You don't have to commit to it like forever to abandon all your goals and everything. It's just for 1 minute. Certainly in the whole life, you can have 1 minute of zero preferences, right? And just to taste that and see what it's like. So that's what we're doing. No preferences. It could be any way. It's A or B. I don't care. Okay, so get ready. Do the pre stuff, body, speech, mind. Body, empty, relaxed. You had a 10-minute break. You're not going to figure anything out. You're just going to be really present. And remember, it applies to what you're doing in this moment as well. It's being in a state of no preference is also about the effect of this. Doing this is also not preference. It's just nothing there. All right? Here you go. Get ready. Begin. Just let that sink in. Okay. If you want to write something down about that, go ahead. All right, so having no preferences, kind of interesting one. That means you have no desires like coming at you. No preferences, one way or another. What if it's just all right? So be ready. Now that you've kind of investigated no preferences, let's see if you can go deeper with that. All right. So body, speech, mind, be ready. Get set. Begin. See what that was like. All right. There was no preferences. The next one I'm going to do is similar in a way. This one's the first theme was like pure awareness as a couple of these plunges. And now we're doing this kind of relational thing. The other one is completely surrender to how it is. Completely surrender to how it is. There is a way it is in your own estimation. How it is unique to you, of course. How it is for you. Because people experience through their sort of preconditioned mind, through their internal disposition. You know, there's this odd thing that how it is for you is actually mostly your imagination. I was studying neuroscience, and the same machinery of your imagination is also used to create your sense of reality. The same things, the same machinery in your brain, the same associations, the same memories affect your dreams as well. Your dreams that you dream at night allow to kind of freewheel what's ever there because it's not constrained by your senses. Your senses kind of place a boundary on your imagination, so you imagine the world. This is neuroscience. This is actually what the guys are coming up with, and they actually have got experiments that really show how this works. That what we see, what we perceive, firstly, we're all seeing a unique version of the world because of our prior experience and the character of our own imagination and the history, our karma, the way it is. It's like this old saying in the Hindu tradition that said, a thief, when he sees someone coming, just sees pockets, you know. And a saint, when he sees someone coming, sees a divine entity. And it's like we're all doing that. That reality that we're so convinced of is our imagination. And that we have to treat that seriously because it is our real imagination. It's how we operate. But we can't take it too literally, as we realize that it's just the play of cosmic energy displaying. It's a display of cosmic energy, sort of. Completely surrendering to how it is basically allowing it to be the way you see it. It's not to like assert that it is that way, but it allows you to see it the way you see it. So it's how it is it's your own soul, it's your own experience, your own consciousness of how it is. Well, how is it for you? Is it beautiful or is it ugly or is it both? What is it? Just imagine it, just to allow it to be that. Fully allow it to be the way you are experiencing it for just a moment. You may have goals and purposes to correct things, to improve things, to straighten it out. That's fine. But for a moment, for 1 minute, you're going to have it be just the way it is as you experience. It's your own inner experience of the reality that you live in, that you've, in a sense, are creating out of your history, not intentionally necessarily, but naturally in the form of having, of being here as a part of the universe. So that's really what we're getting at. And you would want to get over having your own way, in a sense. You're allowing it to just be. You know what I mean? Just allow it to be as it is. That's surrendering to how it is. Okay? So let's see what happens when you do that. Okay? So get ready. And see what occurs. Begin. So just let that sink in, of what it's like to be surrendered to how it is. Sometimes I've found that doing that when I'm all tangled up and upset or something, surrendering to how it is clears it, clears the emotional, clears the binding feeling of it. Oh, it's just that way. That's how it is, you know, and suddenly you're freed. You're liberated, in a sense, from those dogged emotions that feel uncomfortable. Surrendering to how it is. All right, let's do it one more time. It helps to realize that a lot of what goes on is really out of your control. But there's a billion, there's 7 or 8 billion sentient beings, humans, and all the rest of the sentient beings, who knows, you know, where, how deep that goes, all having independent choice and contributing to the reality that we all share. So it's not like you're gonna have it be your way. It's just, it isn't even reasonable to think that way, you know. Completely surrender to how it is for just a moment, at least it keeps you in touch with a kind of a reality about how things are really. Okay, so get ready. Maybe plungy in your meditation, to really just plunge in, to not hold back, just to fully get that, fully embrace that moment. Okay? All right, get ready, here we go. And begin. sink in a little. All right. So here's one. This is a little weird. It might take some thought about getting to it. It's called Find Your Natural State. Find your natural state. What is your natural state? And actually, there's kind of two of those that it could be. One of them is, if nothing was going on, how are you? How are you doing? It's just like, what's it like inside? Your natural state is like your default. It's sort of like you're familiar where you're at when you're not involved in any particular thing, which would then characterize your state. It's sort of like in the absence of that. But there's another one that's also, and actually you do either one. And that is, imagine, like go backward in time to the beginning of time, to before anything at all ever happened. And let's suppose you were there. That would be your natural state. That would be before things became. So I suppose you could approach it either way, whatever seems real to you, your natural state. One is just like the way you are. Like, how are you really? When nothing else is going on, when you're not involved and entangled in anything or in busy doing something, there's just your natural state. It's like you happen to be outside and the day's just drifting on and you go to your default state. And, or the other one is sort of like your native state or your primordial state, the state of before events occurred in the history of the universe. If you want to try that one, that's a good one. Before time, before matter, energy, space, before any conceptual thought, before the complexity of relationship. If you want to try that one, that's kind of out there. But, so you could do it either way, and I actually don't know. You choose what seems real to you. And one, finding your natural state is kind of like maybe like, oh my God, I'm all the time I'm busy doing this. Maybe I want to change that, you know, I can do better. Or maybe it's like, oh, my natural state is actually pretty good, you know, and and I just love going there. Or you can go to this, you know, existential, primordial, native state. You decide. Okay, ready? Open those channels and be on the precipice of the plunge. Begin. Let's try that again. Let's go to this place, which is your base. It is your base. All right. begin. I suppose if you had a chronic state, that doing this practice would give you an alternative, in a sense. A way you would have somewhere to go where you could get over a chronic condition simply by having somewhere to go, so to speak, or to have a knowledge or a path to a more, a simpler place that doesn't have that stuff in it, you know? And that you could be just nakedly aware or just really present without having a thing going on that characterizes and conditions you incessantly or whatever. One last one for the day, then we'll be done. And that is the one that actually I think is good to end up on, so we've ended up on this one each time, which is wish everyone well. And what it is a tradition of metta, the idea of you can wish others well. You could wish a particular other well, other that, or everyone. The key is that it is literally authentic. There's truly wishing well rather than like just being nice. Socially nice and kind of putting on the overlay of, you know, that. So this is where in your heart that you actually mean it, I guess. And if you could find that place in you that you actually mean it, that it is true that it is part of our nature to wish others well, I believe. That it is at the heart, it's deep, it's your intrinsic enlightened state. It may be overlaid and hidden, but your intrinsic enlightened state, the state you're given, you're all, you know, some spiritual books say you're already enlightened, you just don't know it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that part where you already are enlightened, but it gets overlaid with issues and concerns and interpersonal hassles and dramas, you know, everything. It gets lost in the noise, so to speak. And so see if you can tap into that true heart. I think everybody here knows that we wish others well. I don't think there's any confusion about that. There may be a few others you wish you could kind of gut, you know, or do away with just because you read the news, you know. But really, you know the story that the Dalai Lama tells about this Chinese monk, I mean this Tibetan monk who was captured by the Chinese during that terrible time in Tibet, and he was taken into prison and he was tortured, and but he eventually was let go. And in a conversation with him later, somebody said, gee, it must have been really terrible what you experienced. And he says, it really was. There were times when I'd lost my compassion for those people. I'd lost my love of them. I think that's a beautiful story, actually, that that it's there, that in our nature is we have this beautiful quality of caring about others and about wishing everybody well, and that they have a minimum amount of suffering. You know, it's just there, and you hope for the best for everyone. So see if you can find that place in yourself and let that just emerge for one pure minute. Yeah, just see what you can do with that. And then we'll call it a day. You go on with your day. Okay, so get prepared to plunge into that one. Access this authentic sense of wishing others well. All right. So, are you ready? Begin. Just see what that was like when you set out to do that. So, I guess we do this one more time, and then that will be the end of it, because we're doing each one twice. So, and then we'll just see what this does, you know? It's like an interesting little experiment we're doing here with these one-minute plunges. I haven't seen these before. So it's just something that's sort of in the field, you know, like see what it does. If it really helps you, do you carry any of this back into your life, or is it just, kind of nice for a morning, Saturday morning, which would be okay. You know, that would be nice. So let's just do one more metta. All right, so... here we go. Stay relaxed and see if you can find that authentic sense of well-wishing. Okay. Begin. If you want to write something down, it's fine. If you want to do these things on your own, there's a little sheet on it that I have and on that website, sandoff.com/share.htm, and you can download it. And in a little while, I'll have audio of this cleaned up a little. I'll put it in the chat. About the website. Okay, that's it. If you want to download the audio later, it usually takes me about a week or so to get around to. It's very tedious, actually, getting all my hiccups and garbled things I say, kind of cleaning up a little so I'm not embarrassed too badly about it. And sniffs, it really picks that up. It's kind of stupid sounding, but but. And also the latest write-up, which, and I've been adding a couple of them. Here's one you might want to think about. What is it like being dead? Try that. What it's like to be dead. And it's not like ultimate truth. It's like what comes up for you in that moment when you set out to experience for 1 minute fully being dead. Where does that take you? It's a really sketchy one for sure. I kind of like it. And I'm getting old, so it's like really real. It's getting more real. My expiration date is there on the package, you know, and it's coming at me at the speed of time. So anyway.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you all. I really am blessed that you would come and to share this with me. Thank you so much for doing it with me. I really appreciate it. It's nice to have a little Sangha-like scene around this stuff, you know, where we can connect this way. So I'm wishing you all well. And and maybe we'll do another one in a few weeks.
Great.
I've been doing them on Saturdays. That's hard to, for some people, but then if you change it, everybody else, it's hard to get everybody, so... I just kind of settled on Saturdays. But, you know, it's informal, and if you come late, it's okay. You know, and if you go home early, you know, you had enough, that's okay too. It's like you do as much as you want, and you do it in your own way. You do what's real for you. You do what's real for you and what seems to benefit you. And then I think that's the way to approach it. If you like it, then it must be right for you. You'll find your own center of it. And maybe you'll just like hang in with just one or two of these elements and kind of go deep into them, and that'd be fine. You know, like pure awareness, you can't go wrong there. Wishing others well, you can't go wrong there. And none of them are really limited. So anyways, it's around here, it's a nice day, the sun's shining, so I think I'll get on with my day. And like again, thank you all again for sharing this with me. All right.
Thanks, Adrian. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.